if you are able to work with people, communicate, educate to them, gosh, you're ahead of the curve because folks then want to use you.
Welcome to Modern Business Operations, where we talk with leaders about how ops is adapting to our modern world.
Welcome, everyone, for another episode of Modern Business Operations. My name is Sagi. I'm the CEO and founder of Tonkin. And today I have the pleasure of hosting Matt Schwartz, the founder of Matchit. Matt, thank you so much for joining me.
What's going on? Thanks for having me.
It's great. You know, starting a new year.
Well, I was going to say, Happy New Year, right?
Happy New Year, indeed.
Get that out of the way. 2025 is here.
We've just talked about how we've missed each other on several conferences and such.
For sure.
So it's a good starting point, maybe, you know, let me and the audience talk a little bit about you, kind of you, Matchit, where you are, how you got here.
I know.
Up from there.
The first time we actually meet is through a podcast.
Yeah,
it writes itself.
Isn't that the new edge? That's how it works.
That's awesome. Cool. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Very good. So yeah, maybe start there. So
yeah.
Tell me about Matchit. It's a newer company. When did you start it?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I think it started off as this like funny side project. And look, I'm probably building the thing that I wanted as a practitioner. So I was back at Forrester. This was just shy of 2 years ago. And maybe I heard like a Gary Vee episode or something. He's like, LinkedIn, get on LinkedIn. I'm like, what? Like, I haven't been on LinkedIn in years. Nobody goes on there. Sure enough, I go on there. There's like a feed. It's like very social and interactive. And I'm like, maybe I could start talking out loud. And so I did. Like, I just knocked out my first post. Then I did the next day and the next day. And like the things I was talking about, like deep niche procurement stuff, resonated with people. And I was like, oh, wow, this is crazy. And so, yeah, it's evolved, right? It's been 18, now 19 months of just consistently posting, building out a community, and it's turned into what I call a media company. And it's a full ecosystem for procurement practitioners. We've got a small community, yes. We've got a newsletter, we do YouTube videos, and we create content every single day.
Nice. Well, that's, I think, you know, it's kind of like a side quest here for a second, but I think most people don't appreciate the amount of work. My God. There's like so much work goes into it.
Yeah. Well, and I think they can all appreciate it. I know myself included, right? We think like process oriented. I've got workflows and automations to succeed, especially as like a solopreneur. You absolutely need those. I think it also helps that there's like modern technology to do some of it. We'll get into the AI portion at some point, I'm sure, but it really helps do some of the workflows. It is. I mean, look at this. This is crazy. Yeah, 18 months ago, I didn't have like a podcast set up, but now I do. It sounds cool. I've got like a light. I mean, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
You have to work on like your backdrop and your lighting, right?
Yeah, I have.
I mean, you've got it. It's great.
Absolutely. Well, so let's take it from there. So by the way, this is also a side quest, but how important it is to have that niche where you actually didn't have something to say about it. Right.
Yeah.
And so let's go a little bit further back just to kind of, again, to complete the picture. So you've been at Forrester.
Yeah.
You've done it for how many years? How did you get there? You know, that's always a question. How did you land?
Well, yeah, it's always like, when did procurement find you? It's interesting. And I'm glad you asked because I'm different in that I didn't go into procurement like right after school. And funny enough, like, let me back up. Like, I'm a Midwest guy from Wisconsin, right? I say hi, hello. Thank you to everybody. And I went into the military after high school. I did 8 years with the Marines and a tour in Iraq. And when I got out, I then went to school and I did undergrad and grad straight through. So I'd already kind of flipped the script. Usually it's like high school, college, and I was already different. I'm much older in the classroom. I went for economics of all things. And I ended up joining the federal government. I went into the public sector. I think I still had that, like, I want to give back. I'm a great citizen. I went into the military. I went into the federal government, followed by the state government here in Massachusetts. And I was doing like PR, marketing, technology implementations. And I took those skill sets and pivoted into the private sector. And that's when I really started to get involved in procurement because was buying technology to implement and help digitize these archaic systems and departments and functions. And as a result of that, I saw things differently. I got into it much later than most, but it really helped me because I didn't have formal training per se. I didn't climb the ranks from admin to specialist to analyst, right? It's like I kind of jumped in through technology and project management, and it was probably a blessing in disguise. But yeah, it was like public sector, private sector, technology, all of it came together. So like I chose procurement, which is crazy to say, but like I chose it. I found it and I was like, that's it. I want to do that. I like that stuff.
What did you like about it? Like if we at that point, right? So there's obviously folks that are, you know, I joke sometimes, is our places in the world where I came from too, where negotiating is almost like a sport. You know, you kind of very proud of it when you're
guilty.
Exactly. So like folks comes to it sometimes from that perspective, right? Other folks really are like to geek about the idea of supply chain, not to mention even the details of it, but just the idea of how the intense things work, right? So what was the, your kind of like original scene, if you will, that kind of made it go there?
I'm glad you asked. Like my aha moment, I think, was every time I went to go and purchase technology or wanted to help somebody bring technology into the business, procurement would get involved. And I was kind of like, who are they? What do they do? And the more I learned, the more I was like, oh, now I get it. And I saw it through a different angle or lens, right? I said that I went to school for economics. Think macro and micro. Micro, the business, how they operate, how they make money. To me, that was super cool. I was always curious, lifelong learner. And I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. And I noticed that procurement just had their hands in everything. And so I started exploring a little more. I wasn't so much on the supply chain side, but I can appreciate the widgets, like making the hard things that you then sell. For me, it was, wow, they're buying all the services that a company uses. They're buying all of the hardware, the computers, the technology that goes on it. So everybody can do their job and grow the business, help it make money. And that was this click for me. And so that was the aha moment. I was like, wow. And then I also noticed that, well, gosh, they're using super old archaic technology. It's done in a way that I would do it differently. And I was like, I'll try that. Let me see if I can spin this up with a little bit of marketing, sell the function, its value. And sure enough, modern technology came along at the same time. So I just married the two together and like career just kind of shot up at that point. And I was like, whoa, this is something, like there's something here. And so that was probably it. That was like my introduction.
Nice. Well, like you said, timing is everything.
Yes, for sure.
But even if when it's not everything, it's a lot of what defines success. Let's talk about the last few years. So I think it probably started with COVID, with supply chain issues. Sure. But, you know, even we were talking about before the show, even talking my business, we've been around for almost a decade now. And we only really kind of got exposed to procurement and the challenges they have, and obviously, therefore the opportunities, but just recently in the last, call it four years. So there's definitely something good happening in that industry, in that domain. Tell me, how do you see it from your side?
Yeah, I'm with you. It's always a little odd or weird to say this, but like supply chain disruptions as a result of COVID, COVID was not a great thing for many people. However, it did put supply chain and procurement into the headlines. And as a result of it, when companies couldn't get the things they needed, oh my gosh, like, how do we fix this? And then you follow that with a terrible macroeconomic climate and financial crises. And you're like, it's like economics all over again. And I'm like, holy cow, hit the headlines. And people just keep looking back. Okay, what, these procurement people helped me out again? All right, pull them up. Let's go. I thought they were just like clicking buttons and hardball negotiating in the back. That's not the thing anymore. So yeah, again, it's weird to say that, but like as a result of these larger situations and things that happened outside of everyone's remit, it's like, okay, procurement is a thing. And I think you're right. Like I can remember 2018, not liking the ERP that I was clicking buttons in, finding a no low code tool to build out intake orchestration or automated workflows, because I knew there was a better way. And after that, you started seeing a big shift yourself, right? You came into the market, you'd already been there, but you're like, oh, there's a use case in procurement. You've got some of the other players in the space. I think you now have, what are these like spider maps, 400 plus solutions. And it's like almost overwhelming, which is funny because as a practitioner, you go, I can't believe that there's that much technology available, but like marketing and sales teams have 2-3 times that. It's a lot, but timing is right. You had tools that were being created for these very things that procurement practitioners needed.
Where does it go from here though? Right. So if we take, so if I connected back this segment to your point about economics, right? The macro and the micro, right? So now you look at the macro, you see those shifts create opportunity. Opportunity creates need. Need pulls in money, right? VC money all over the space now.
Yep.
You got a good timing with AI that opens up things we couldn't do before. Now we can do it better. What now? Like what happened now? Because here's the third part of any market disruption is the actual practitioner. Are they ready? Right? Like the joke around, you know, healthcare is that they're so scared to do anything that there's areas that are like super cutting edge, right?
Yes.
Like in your brain in ways they couldn't do like 2 years ago. Yeah. But like you still go to the doctor office, you fill a form, pen and paper, right? and half of what they get printed is getting shredded directly from the printer. I literally had a guest that was telling me like from the printer, it is shredded directly into the basket. That's crazy. That's how some things are sometimes. Yeah.
I mean, it is though. Like we've all done it. Here's the clipboard with the pen. Please fill this out. Like, yeah. What?
Exactly. So that's kind of my question then back to that.
Yeah.
So all of this kind of happens and that spider webs that you talked about, those are like, they call it market text or whatever they call like those diagrams that shows you the market. Where is the actual market? I look at you from both your personal experience, but also, you know, you are an influencer right now. You talk to the community, you put content that people care to listen. What do they care to listen? Like, where are they? Where is the state?
Yeah. It's such a good question. And I'm actually really happy you asked because a lot of the conversations that I have at like conferences or the one-on-ones or one-to-manys or my DMs on LinkedIn, that's where, gosh, if all of that was public, I think things would be different. But they're not because people are overwhelmed. They're concerned for their job. They're fearful. Like all of those human behaviors come into play. I totally get it. And here's what's interesting. I can remember being back at Forrester talking with your fellow peers, all the founders in the space that had just gotten VC money and came in. And then what happened 12 months later? Like AI. Right? AI comes out of nowhere, which it didn't really come out of nowhere, but it gets a heightened, it gets a refresh, a rebrand, and everyone starts paying attention. The public is aware. And you almost go like, imagine what that curve looks like right now, right? We used to have ERPs, they were kind of going, then you had, 2.0, and now you've got 3.0, 4.0 followed like 12 months after, and it's called AI. Holy cow, what is going on? And as a practitioner, you're going, what is happening to my job? You're seeing some companies that are willing to bring in new tools and I don't want to say a new face, but like a new approach or a new framework of doing business. And they're automating workflows. They're doing it with fewer people. Gosh, running $500 million business with 3 procurement folks, one of which was myself, which is interesting to think about, right? You go, how can that happen? It can because we've got modern tools for it. So I'm like you. I'm so curious to see where we head. The conversations that I have, I think is the same thing. You've got some folks who are cutting edge, right? They're like the first ones to go and get the latest and greatest iPhone. You have others that are like, still, I've got my Nokia brick and I'm not moving. I'm a clipboard at the healthcare, right? And then many in the middle, right? If we look at that graph or curve, I think they're almost, unfortunately, waiting for something to happen so that a decision is made for them. And I don't know that that's the best way. It's very reactive. To me, it's very old school procurement. Rather, instead, get proactive, learn about the tools, do demos, get comfortable with it, increase your technology literacy so that you're prepared and are willing to adapt and adopt the new tech, I think you are then you're better well-positioned as a practitioner. But it is tough. You're absolutely right. It's everywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Tonkin. Tonkin is the operating system for business operations, providing businesses with the building blocks to orchestrate any process with no code or change management required. Contact us at Tonkin.com to learn how you can build complex processes fast.
I'm intrigued by it from like five different reasons, but
let's go.
Maybe the top two is, first, obviously I'm coming from, and our listeners in this podcast is always about, okay, what is modern business operations? Like how do you run operation of business as a whole, of departments, of your team? How do you do it in a modern way? So that can be technology, that can be best practices and methodology and so on. So of course you cannot be serious about this topic without staying very tuned into where technology, you know, is going. But there's another thing that is critical here, which is, and I say it a lot, which is the biggest barrier for innovation is change. It comes together. You cannot innovate if you don't change, but that's also the barrier of innovation. Change is so hard. And so what I like about the story of procurement, and the reason also, you know, been focusing on it in the podcast as well, is I do think it's somewhat of a canary in the coal mine situation. Yeah. That macroeconomic thing we talked about with COVID supply chain and the things that follow, like, that is a compelling event that happens or that you don't control. And many times it's required to break a barrier of change and say, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if you want to change or not. Change is going to come at you. Now, I think it's very important to learn this because there is no situation, in my opinion, where other departments are not going to follow suit. They might not have to do it as fast. And I'm not to say, by the way, that procurement is the only one that is in this situation, but as an example, we can learn a lot from the do's and the don'ts. And I think this transition would be very interesting because I do think it is much deeper than most realize, because we're not really utilizing not only the technology, even the structure in which you would want to build future procurement teams, for example, or future teams in general, but like specifically procurement practices in the future. If you started today, would you build it the same way you've built it 20 years ago?
Yeah, no. Hard no. And I haven't. And you had asked early on in the pod, it's like, oh, how did you climb the ranks so fast? Or like, how did it just go up? Because I didn't do it how it was always done. To me, I'm like you, thinking from a different view, a different approach. And it works wonders. Why? Well, namely, people, process, tech, right? Cliche to say, but I've pivoted. Business acumen, which just means microeconomics. How do I understand, like, as a practitioner, as a leader in the procurement space and the organization, because I certainly market myself as that, how does this business, how does this company make money? Because I want to help them do it. Procurement as a team is going to help them do that. Get the goods and services. Everybody needs to do their job. Tech literacy, which we touched on, how do you stay up to date with modern tools? There are infinitely way more than there have ever been. However, I think if you are comfortable or can get comfortable, because you will certainly need to get comfortable on using modern tools, go get that demo, do a proof of concept, play around with AI on your phone, your computer at night. Take a little bit of time, get some personal growth, which will then lead to career growth for you. Business acumen, tech literacy, and fundamentally building relationships. People, right? Which I think is probably the most important, because it gets around your message around change management. If you are able to work with people, communicate, educate to them, gosh, you're ahead of the curve, because folks then want to use you. It's what we're often trying to use technology to fix or change. But at times, it still comes across as you are forced to use this tool instead of, gosh, I work with Matt and his team and they help me every single time I help them make it seamless and easy. I'm going to go to them every time I need a problem solved. And so that's that change management. It's tough. It takes a new personality, a new skill set, and certainly a new mindset to do.
Yeah. And it's almost like you're in that job, but whether you're the head of the department or you're part of that department, there's a lot of really good things you just said, and I can connect to a lot of them. But if I want to choose one thing to double click on, I do think it's that playing with AI in your phone. Like, and then you can be ready maybe to take the demos and all that stuff. But I'm not even going there. I'm literally just saying you cannot think this is a tech nerd's thing.
Yeah, no.
Let me even give a shout out to OpenAI for a second with the latest. Like, you played with the latest voice in the ChatGPT, the
phone. Multimodal. Yeah, which is crazy.
Like, on the phone, the one that when you start talking to it, it has like this blue circle just for like all the trying to understand specifically what I'm talking about. It is phenomenal. Yeah. Now, more than the fact it's phenomenal, it's not about demoing things. Like, most, this is a problem with technology in general. It's by the time you have very compelling examples, that's the first time you've seen it as a consumer of that technology, you're kind of late to the game. You know,
like,
the real step change is when you understand like the tools that this allows you to do and rethink about what do you want to do different, right? So, for example, I had a friend tell me he was working on PR press release,
right?
And everyone knows you could go to the GPD. Yeah, I want to write a press release, help me write a press release, that stuff, right? Yeah. But he didn't have time to do that. And then he played with that voice thing and then he walked his dog. So he put the headphone on, turned this thing on and started talking to it for like half an hour.
No way.
I was just talking to it and be like, okay, this is what I want to do. Like, what are the top keywords right now? And they're like, okay, great. So I want to focus on this and that. And then at the end of it, just like, great. Can you summarize this into a document? Then he came back to his computer. He went to that same kind of like conversation and copied that and put it on. Right. I heard that, you know, the first thing I did, I showed it to my parents. They're like in their 60s, right?
Yeah.
I just showed it to them and they start to do weird stuff with that too. They're like,
Yeah.
Oh, like instead of Google searching, they start like talking to this thing. What I'm trying to do here is just say this will find itself and already is finding itself in many ways into the enterprise tools. The leaders of companies would not want to spend a single dime on something that they can automate, right? That's just like the nature of how things work. And so if you are a leader, the first thing you need to do is understand that this is coming, whether you like it or not, playing in screens near you.
yeah, exactly. Anyway. Coming to a theater near you.
Yeah, exactly. So that's coming near you sooner than you think. And so, and again, shout out to you and other folks that are really being on the glove here and saying like, we need to educate the market on a lot of those things. And again, shout out to anyone that is listening already, but to those who don't, like, this is really kind of what you want to encourage your friends and family in similar departments too, because this is true for literally every job. Differently, for each job, it will be different because each job is focused on different things. But that lifetime learner that you kind of mentioned and that's being open for that, I think it is more than a key. I think it's fundamental.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'll tie it back to the procurement practitioner. I think inherently the folks that end up or the ones that do fall in are naturally lifelong learners. They're very curious. They're not afraid to ask why. Most that I've spoken with are open to new technologies, especially the younger generations. I mean, that's a given. Oh, by the way, it's 2025 and Gen Z just hit 25% of the workforce, I think, which is crazy to think about. But it's also super cool because that's now coming in. Like, of course I'm going to this and of course I'm going to talk into it. Like, now I'm not even typing into a computer to look for stuff. I just talk into it and the data then comes to me. Total reimagination. I love where you're thinking about it because I think that's the inevitable future. If you are, and to all your listeners that are looking for places to go, find those top AI voices and follow them. Like, get a newsletter or two dropped into your inbox. It's totally worth it just to stay. Keep a finger on the pulse because it's good for, well, you and also your career. I can't believe this. This guy's like walking the dog and he gets a PR release in 30 minutes. Like, multitasking.
They're talking to it too. The talking to it was was, I think, the takeaway from here. It's like,
that's the thing. Yeah.
It's just like, you're just thinking out loud. You kind of work with it. Like, look, I think there's a lot of noise and a lot of nonsense out there too. Yeah. And I think that's a skill that the younger generations has, because the level of information that they're used to, I think, is different than our parents' generation, that maybe kind of like are used to like one single media source telling them like what's real.
Yeah.
So identifying what's real versus what's not is important, but I completely agree with you. Not having any finger or any pulse is much worse than some of the noise that might come with it. But hey, that's why your business is ticking off, right? It's the voices that can help you think it through.
I mean, I think that's it, right? And it's, I said the thing. I said, okay, let's be Modern Procurement's trusted voice. That's as plain as can be, because I think, like you said, there is a ton of noise, and it's helpful to find somebody that is willing and able to talk about the things day in and day out. You build trust, and you build trust at scale. It's no different than running a technology company. It's very much the same thing. You are building that with your clients and prospective clients, and it comes back to people. It's inevitable.
You know what? Stealing from some other podcasts, what do you think would be the bigger winner, and who's going to be the bigger loser in that procurement space?
Oh my gosh.
It doesn't have to be an entity or a person. It can be like a concept, but like, what do you think would be the biggest?
Well, I was going to say, I'll hold off on naming brands. However, I will say this. I'm personally, given all of the conversations that I've had recently and or have been following, like, AI agents, let's pull this together. Let's somehow pull a network together and see how that can then change, fundamentally change how business is done. It's so interesting. We touched on it just a couple minutes ago about the idea of automating workflows, like going from a manual-based process to digitized. And now it's, well, what if something does that for you? Because I'm too busy walking the dog, talking into the thing, right? Like, that to me is cool. I hope that wins or gets more traction. I think, and look, you know better than anybody as a technical co-founder, right? It's only as good as the model, but wow, are they progressing fast. Go back to OpenAI, the 12 days of Christmas, like leading up to, that was super cool. And they just kept on coming out and you're like, whoa. And we didn't even talk about some of the other players in the space, but they're all competing. I think it's good. And I'm trying to stay on top of it.
Very good. So who's going to be the biggest loser, or what's going to be the biggest loser?
What's the biggest loser? Oh, gosh.
The end of the year, you know, if we do that, maybe we should do that at the end of the
you
year.
You should. Yeah, you should.
We talk again, like, what would be, like, you're saying agents and the idea of adopting those type of concept, you want it to be the biggest winner. What do you think would be, would belly flop?
Yeah, I think that's cool. I think that's the direction we're headed. The belly flop, and speaking of news or headlines coming in, I'm seeing a lot of people just getting rid of DEI. It's just gone, like supplier diversity. This is just like no longer a thing. There's a bunch of stuff behind that and underneath it. I'd personally have to read into it, but I think that's good. That's a good education to be like, hey, is this like, are companies interested in this, or should it have always been the case? And do we need to hit it from a quota or criteria perspective, or should it just have been embedded within the way in which procurement and or companies buy from goods and services? So I feel like that's losing. I feel like that's out. And you've got pretty big logos that are like coming out publicly and saying, yeah, that's not a thing for us anymore. So I'll be curious to see what happens.
I think those are very, very good predictions. Very good, man. Well, this was fantastic. Let me ask you the last question I always like to ask, kind of on a personal note. A lot of things, your career was super interesting, you know, Army. I was in the Army too, by the way. We can geek about that later.
Well, all right. Well, thanks for your service.
No, thank you for your service.
Yeah, awesome. What? You held out this whole time? You're like buried the lead? It's so humble of you. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. So you went through all of this. You kind of went through a lot of non-conventional decisions. What is the core advice, something you feel like you got early in your career or life and is worth paying for?
Well, I'll pivot off of people because that's an easy one to say. Although I do think networks and connections are extremely important, especially for procurement practitioners, because it's just the nature of your work. Experience and exposure. I think experience to things and exposure to different types of things is super fruitful and helpful. I'd probably say, I don't know where that was, but somebody was like, just do a bunch of, do a bunch of stuff in your 20s and then your 30s. I'm like, oh yeah, that stuff makes sense. Looking back as like a early 40-year-old man, I'm like, yeah, that was cool. But it's so helpful because it's like, yeah, I'm like slanging burgers at McDonald's, working retail. I've done all of it. And it was so helpful. So I say experience and exposure to different things. And I think that makes for a good life and good business.
I love it. And it's a perfect tie for everything we talked about today. Yeah. So Matt, thank you again. This was
thank you.
This was a joy. If anyone want to follow you or work with you.
Yeah.
So LinkedIn, I assume, but where can they find
you? Yeah. I was gonna say I spent a significant amount of time on there. But yeah, swing through mattchat.io. We've got direct links to all of our channels and it's a good place to connect.
Thank you so much, man. Happy New Year.
Yeah, happy New Year. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Modern Business Operations. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at tonkin.com/mbopod. Thank you for listening and be sure to subscribe for updates on future episodes. And if you're interested in staying up to date on all things business operations, join the Tonkin community at tonkin.com/community.